point that is made as the body of Christ, we are subject to the head. If you get the head off, the body dies. And so without Christ, there's no control of the body. And many religious groups don't have Christ as the head. And they've got a body, a ruling body, that controls all of their teaching and everything apart from the Word of God and from Jesus. So we're going to be looking at the church as the body of Christ. Jesus had a fleshly body. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. His work on this earth was done in this body, his teaching, his sacrifice for the sins, for the world, all of that, Hebrews 10:5 and 9 through 10, that's what his work was. He was raised from the dead and ascended to heaven, 1 Corinthians 15:3-5. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. Now, the church is his body on earth. So the things he did in the body on this earth, in his body, then we are to do as the body of Christ today. The church, of course, refers to the people through whom the Lord works. The church then functions as the body of Christ, as his body functioned here on this earth. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. And so he died for us so that we would live for him and do the things that he would have done if he had been here on the earth. And if you can imagine what a drastic difference it would make in the world if every member of the church truly lived as Jesus did and took his place on the earth just as he took our place on the cross. So there is one body or church. There's not two bodies. There's not two heads. Only one body and one head. In Ephesians 4:4, therefore one... There one body and one spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. So there is one body, not many bodies, as some people like you to think. Go to the church of your choice. If the church is the body of Christ, then he only has one body. He doesn't have multiple bodies that you can adhere to their teaching. In Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. One body, not many. 1 Corinthians 10:17, for we, though many, are one bread and one body. We all partake of that one bread. And so many times in the scriptures we're seeing this emphasis on there being one body. God has never been pleased with the division of his people. John 17:20-21, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Many people stay out of Christianity because there's so many different groups, and they don't know which one's right. And you can understand why they would have a problem with that, because they don't know the scriptures. Maybe they believe in God, and they want to do what's right with God, but they look at all the different churches and you think, which one will I go to? Which one is right? And that's a valid question to ask. And so we need to look for the one. Sometimes they say, find a Bible-believing church. Well, there's not a church that says I'm not a Bible believer, except Satan's church, I guess. They would say, no, we don't believe in the Bible at all. But most would claim to be Bible-believing churches. But we have to find the church that follows the Bible as closely as it can, as humanly as possible. We try to do things exactly the way the New Testament church did them. That's the restoration movement. Restoring New Testament Christianity today. And so Jesus recognized that division was going to be a problem, and he prayed that we all might be one. And yet, obviously, we haven't. Thousands of different religious groups in the United States today. I remember in the 70s, 60s, and 70s, I think they said there were 300. But now we've split even more and more, in that there are so many different religious groups. Every little spot on the corner has got a church that's a different name, practicing different doctrines, and not following the New Testament scriptures. And so Jesus prayed that we might be one, so the world might believe that he had sent him. The religious world has made it the church of your choice rather than the church that Jesus built, the church of his choice. And so there is only one body or church, and that's so important for us to understand. Number two, Christ is the head of the body, the church. Colossians 1, 18 through 24, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. And so many things refer to him as the head. Him being the head means he is the control. The head is what controls every part of our body. We don't even have to tell it. We don't even have to think about it. The head controls everything. It's just automatic response. And that's the way it should be with Jesus as the head of the church. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. And so Christ is the head of the church. Again, Colossians 2:19, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grow with increase that is from God. And so even there we see that that there were people who were not holding fast to the head, wanting to depart from the teachings of Christ. And we see that division starting early in the church in 1 Corinthians, when people are starting to follow man, follow the person that baptized them, divide off into little groups as a result of who baptized them. And so we're going to follow this one because he baptized us. And there is one body, and Christ is the head of that one body. Being the head means we must do what he says. We don't have any control over that. We must do what the head tells us to do. And being the body of Christ is the proof of that, that we should be doing what he says. The church is the body of Christ. In Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness who fills all in all. And so he gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Not just a few things, not just some things, all things to the church, which is his body. So he being the head is in control of everything that we do. Colossians 1, 24, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. And so the body is the church. And it's so important for us to recognize that. Sometimes people want to talk about the church and not recognize that it's the body. And that things that talk about the body, we're baptized into one body. That's talking about the church. And so the body and the church are the same thing. It is the body of Christ. Then we're members of Christ's body. We are individually members of Christ's body. 1 Corinthians 6:15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. And so Jesus, or Paul here, rather, is talking about the fact that we are members of Christ's body, individually. And so you may be a hand, I may be a foot. And Paul talks about that, and we'll look at that in a moment. when we look at the different functions of the body and the body parts. Ephesians 5:30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And so we are members of Christ's body. We are part of that body of Christ if we are Christians, baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. And then members have different functions. And we recognize that generally. But Paul points out that all are important. And the little toe is just as important as the hand or any other part of the body. And sometimes we want to make distinctions, but he points out in 1 Corinthians 12:12-27, all of the parts are important. And we don't downplay the importance of any one. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So each one of us is a part of the body of Christ. Maybe a finger, a toe, an eye, an ear, whatever it might be, he's illustrating this to show that all of those parts are important. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So he's talking here to those who might feel insignificant in the church. So he says, I'm a foot, and the hand does all the good work, so I'm not really that valuable. And he's pointing out that, no, you're just as important. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? And so each of us, individual parts of the body of Christ, working for a purpose. But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. He's mentioned that before. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Now he's talking about those who might think I'm better than others. So he's talked about those who think they're not important. Now he's dealing with those who think they're more important. If the eye can say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you, no, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So each one of us is a part of the body of Christ. I saw a great illustration of this by a preacher, and I couldn't do it the way he did it, but basically he said, if I hit my thumb with a hammer, the thumb is not the only thing that's hurting. That the whole body now is going to come into play because that thumb is hurting. And it goes into my mouth to kind of soothe the pain there. And this hand comes up and holds it. And this leg comes up and tries to get closer to it to give it more support. And the whole body is involved. And that's the point that Paul is making here. That the whole body, those many parts make up the whole body, and we should have the same care for one another. And we shouldn't be saying, you know, my foot has never said, I have no need of my hand. And so we shouldn't in the church say, you know, we don't really need you here. If you're part of the body of Christ, we need you. I told before about the only part of my body I've lost except the appendix, and if we ever have a nuclear attack, I'll be the first one to go because I understand that they found out the appendix has something to do with filtering out radiation. So I needed that also. But my big toenail I had removed. And I think that's the only part of my body I've had removed beside my appendix. And I still miss that thing. That's been 50 years ago. That toe is a lot more tender if something hits it than the other one is, because it doesn't have that toenail there to protect it. And the doctor that removed one of Claire's toenails said, oh, well, we haven't needed those since we came down out of the trees. And I'll tell you, I need that toenail. It's important to me. And that's the point that Paul is making here. Every little part is important. There might be some things we would be willing to give up more than others, but we don't want to lose anything. Every little part is important. We have different functions, but one is just as important as the other. And I see people, I saw Smitty this morning opening the door for a lady who was walking out with a cane. And that's an important thing. He saw her with a cane, and so he opened the door for her. And I don't know if he may have, this door was closed after he left. He may have helped her down the steps. I don't know. But that's an important thing. Many times the things that are done are not seen. We don't know the things that are done. Debbie Harris goes around every Sunday morning. While we're around visiting, she goes around, puts all the songbooks back in the pew, and picks up the papers and bulletins and things that were left. People don't know that. There are many things that people do that people are not aware of. And I think I forgot to turn the air conditioner on this morning. Sometimes at the time of the year, I forget whether we need heat or cold or what, but usually I try to set that. We just automatically think, well, the temperature is going to be right when we get here. Sometimes it's not, because I may have forgot. But, you know, things don't just happen on their own. Somebody is doing that. And so there are many people doing things around this building to help out that we never know about. And so that's the way the body is. But one is just as important as the other. That's the point. Matter of fact, Paul is saying those that have less honor deserve greater honor on our unpresentable parts and that sort of thing. That we give greater honor to that which lacks it. And so Paul is very clear on that. He says basically the same thing in a different way in Romans 12, 3 through 8. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we all have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of it. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So he's saying we all have different parts and different roles, and we need to do it to the best of our ability. And if your ability is cooking cakes to take to the sick, or preparing a meal to take to the sick people, that's a wonderful part. And nobody may, few people may ever know that you're doing that. But it's an important part of the body. Visiting people who are sick in the hospital, that's an important part of the body. And so whatever you do, do it according to your faith, he says. Do the best you can at the job you're doing. And not all jobs are presented to someone to say, you do this and you do that. When we see something that needs to be done, we do it. And many times I see that. People stop and picking up paper. Nobody told them to do that. They just saw something, saw a need, and they did it. And so many times that's what we do. And individuals see a need, and so they do it. Sometimes they ask, is it okay to do this? I remember Diane Brown thought the letters on the communion table there didn't stand out enough, and So she asked if she could get a brown marker and mark those so it stood out a little bit better. And we said, yes, that'd be fine. And so she did it. And so many times she did the, put the grits out on the ant hills. She saw something needed to be done, and she did it. And so that's the way the body functions. I don't have to tell my hand to do things. It just automatically does it. It knows when to click this clicker because the head is in control. And when the head is Christ, Christ is in control of what we do in his body as Christians. Each member has a job to do and needs to do it. Colossians 2 and verse 19, not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. And so each part doing its part, held together and nourished and knitted by the joints and ligaments. And so we need to hold fast to the head and to be sure that we're staying joined together as we should be. The joints and the ligaments are very important. Ephesians 4, 15 through 16, but speaking the truth in love, may you grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And so each part has something to do, and joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. So there's a joint between each individual member, and so we need to be connected, and that's an important process. And we're knit together in love, one scripture tells us. It's our love for one another. It keeps us joined together so that we can function better as a body. I think I had one lesson where I did one of those things. You remember the little push toys that you push up on it and the whatever the animal or man or whatever it is just kind of slumps down because the joints aren't working. You let go of it and he stands back up, or the animal stands back up, whatever the case might be. That's what happens when the joints are not strong. My knee joints are not doing too well right now. The joints in my back are not doing too well. Going to have to go get another shot Wednesday. So it's important that the joints work. So that means each one of us needs to have a love and concern for each other. We're joined to each other by our love. And we need to be sure that we're supplying what's needed to keep those joints strong. There's only one way that the Bible ever says we can get into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now remember, that one body is the church. So we're baptized into one body, which is the church. Romans 6, 3 through 4. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so we are baptized into Christ, his body. We become a part of the body of Christ by that baptism. And Galatians 3:27 says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And a lot of people would like to stop right there. All you do is believe in Jesus. You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus for. That next verse is tied to it with that for. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's the reason you're sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, because you were baptized into Christ and you became a member of his body, a member of the family of God. You're sons of God because of that baptism. And it's such a shock to me that so many in the religious world want to discount that. That illustrates the very thing we're talking about, that many people claiming to be Christians are not tied to the head. They've kind of cut off the head. Or at least the head's not functioning the way it should for them. They've cut off certain segments of it and say, I don't want to do this. I know the Bible says that, but I don't think I want to do that. And so there's only one way to get into the body that the scriptures ever say, and that's through baptism. And the religious world wants to say baptism has absolutely nothing to do with your salvation. You can't be saved outside the body of Christ. You can't be saved outside the church. He is the Savior of the body, the church. And so it's so important for us to understand that and for everyone to understand that. So what about you? Are you in the body of Christ, which is the church? You know, a lot of people want to say, oh, I want Christ, but I don't want the church. Can't have that. If you don't want the church, you can't have Christ, because that's his body. And you have to accept the church and be a part of that church. If not, then you need to repent of your sin and your life and confess Jesus as Son of God, and you can be baptized into Christ today. And if you're online, we'll find a way to get you to someone who will baptize you if you have that need. If you have any doubt of your salvation, let one of us know, and we will try to clear up those doubts. Sometimes people have unfounded doubts, and they don't understand some things about their salvation. And those things need to be cleared up. But it may be that there are some here who have sin in their life, and they know that their life is not right with God, and they need to repent and get their life right. And if that's true of any of you, at this time, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.
Thank you. Let's turn to number 274. Number 274, the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper is extended. Those who have not had it, if you're desirous, if you come forward and get a little packet, you will be served after the congregation sings the first stanza of number 274. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our lives, wild, restless sea. Day by day his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. Let's turn to number 806. Number 806, I'll live in glory. We had another good lesson this evening, and one of the things that I got out of it was that when you disrespect somebody, especially your brothers in Christ, God's going to tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, that person demands some more respect. So there's no small jobs in Christianity. There's no small jobs. So as we think about our brothers and sisters and pray for us to be stronger and happier together and work together, I think that lesson applies to us all. Let's stand to sing a verse or two of number 806 and be dismissed in prayer. I'd like to stay here longer than man's allotted days, and watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven ways. But if my Savior calls me to that sweet home on high, I'll live with him forever in glory by and by. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing life's story, tell of story there on high. There with my dear remainder, more to die. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, giving you thanks and glory, Father, for allowing us to come together to learn more about you, to sing song and praises to you, Father. Father, we pray that you be with those who were mentioned on the prayer list this afternoon, Father. Pray that you keep their heads held high, Father. Keep their mind focused on you. Father, we pray that you be with us as we go about our separate ways. Pray that you allow us all to come back at the next appointed time. We also pray that the people who couldn't make it this evening will also be able to make it at the next appointed time. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.